What's up, everybody? It is the Great Weight Podcast with Scott Wheat. We're kicking off our week right. You know, it's the afternoon here in Arizona where I live. Decided to drop a special episode for you guys. I'm at my house. That's where you hear me open, closing doors. There's probably some dogs in the background. Again, my homies, Magnum and Sasha, hanging with me. So we're going to flip it up today. We're going to do a little bit different. I'm actually going to do something cool. It was an idea I've been thinking of, haven't done one yet like this, but I'm actually going to do a story today for you guys. So we're not going to do the traditional podcast where I kind of ramble on. I want to do a three-part story this week. So we're going to do part one today, and then we're going to do part two probably Wednesday, and then we'll end it part three on Friday. So again, like my podcast before, a lot of it's going to be improvised. I have had some thoughts, some story ideas, but majority of it's going to be improvised. Again, no double takes, no editing. It's going to be what you hear is what you're hearing me say directly. So with that in mind, guys, we're going to get into the story idea of mine. So I don't have a title yet for the story, but maybe during the week we'll come up with one. So I'm going to get to part one in just a moment. So stay tuned for the improvised, off the top of my head, freestyle story, three-parter. It started long ago. It started long before either you or I were here. And will continue long before after you and I are long gone. He didn't know how it would come to this. Didn't even know why it would come to this. All he knew is that it came to this and the choice was made for him. John was never a reactionary type. He was more of an action-oriented guy. He was someone, when the cards were on the table, he played his best hand. Whether he won, whether he lost, he always, came out the other end unscathed, unharmed, and always a little better. That was until she walked into his life. He wasn't expecting her, and I'm sure she wasn't expecting him. But when their eyes locked, it was love at first sight. Cupid's arrow must have hit him pretty hard because he felt the room spin, and he saw stars, little twinkly stars that you see lighting up the very dark skyline. He knew that she was the one for him, that she was the one for him, and that he was one for her. So John stumbled out of his seat, hands shuffling in his pockets, very nervous. He didn't know quite what to say. He was fumbling for words. He was fumbling for the right thing to tell her. And so he slowly cleared his throat and went with what he thought would be the best opener. And that was, "Hi, my name's John Thompson. What's your name?" And as she batted her bangs from her eyes, she said, "My name is Tiffany with an I." And so the romance began. John and Tiffany spent what felt like days, but was only hours, in that small coffee shop in their small town, on that quiet, calm, cloudy day. And their town didn't quite feel so small afterwards. Didn't feel as big as maybe the bigger cities, the metropolises nearby, but it felt big to them. And they continued to get to know each other. Every afternoon they would meet at the same coffee shop, at that same small table where there's eyes locked just days ago. And they kept talking and and little by little got to know each other more and more. He found out that she came from a military family that was always moving. It didn't seem like she was in one place more than a week at a time, maybe a month. He was so infatuated that he forgot all the small details in the beginning. And her fell in love with his story, how he came from humble beginnings, how he came from the local family of miners that were digging for coal and for all the minerals that helped keep the town afloat and kept the town thriving, as little as it did. When you're in a small town, there's not much there to do other than pick fights, find a pick, get to work, or just pick up and leave. And so he knew that the options were slim. She knew the options were slim, but their love, forged like steel, kept going stronger and stronger. That was until the day of the accident. It was unexpected. No one saw it coming. And who would have thought something so little would have caused such a great controversy, such a big uproar in such a small city? And that would lead to one of them making the ultimate sacrifice. And so that is where the story begins. And I will tell you the story of how John met Tiffany, how they fell in love, what ended up happening that caused not only a rift between them, but to almost break out a civil war between their families and disrupt a small city town. And so let the story begin. This is how the story begins. On a cloudy day in the middle of November, Jonathan Quincy Thompson was lost. He was in a deep depression, a deep struggle, had been for quite some time. He didn't know what to do. Growing up as a miner, and in the mining community of Colesville, West Virginia, there wasn't much to do in a small town. His grandpa was a miner. His dad was a miner. His three older brothers were miners. His two older sisters were accounting for the big mining company. Everything ran through the coal industry. And if they're lucky, they could maybe make some money on the side, compressing those into diamonds and selling those to the local diamond dealers. But for over 65 years, his family had grown into being the biggest family in the mining community in Colesville. And so for John, he decided one day, woke up, he didn't feel like he wanted to be a miner anymore. He wanted to be something major. Pun intended. And so he just felt like he couldn't do anymore. So he tried to talk to his mom and his dad, his older siblings, and he always had the same answer. John, we're a mining family. That's all we know. We pick up the axe, we go to the shafts, we bring home the coal, we bring home the dough, we bring home the money. That's who we are and who we always will be, until this coal mining, until we run out of coal, until we run out of things to mine in the shafts. But John knew that he was better than that. He knew he was bigger. He had bigger ambitions. He had bigger dreams. He wanted to get far, far away from Colesville. He wanted to get far away from West Virginia. He wanted to go to New York City. He dreamt of being a playwright. Chance of writing, great Broadway plays. That would be, his words coming out of the mouths of the famous actors that he would see on TV. The ones that would do Broadway plays on the summertime that he would read about in those fancy periodicals for the Hollywood types. The Hollywood Reporter, Variety, Billboard, The Grudge Report. The different, places that he knew where. So every night he would dream, and he always would dream the same dream, that He was sitting middle row, fourth row up, middle seats, at the Eugene O'Neill Theater in Broadway. And hearing his words spoken by his favorite actor. And his favorite actor saying those words of his. And at the very end of the show, flowers flying, roses flying, daffodils flying, every known flower flying onto the stage, the actors bowing humbly as they're being serenaded with flowers and petals, and the crowd erupting in applause, standing ovations, and with tears coming down, so knowing that those were his words being spoken beautifully, eloquently by those Broadway actors. And then every morning at 5 o'clock sharp, you'd hear the cock-a-doodle-doo, cock-a-doodle-doo, doodle-doo, the rooster crowing, and then having to grudgingly wake up, pick himself up, pick up the pieces of shattered dreams, put on his heavy steel-toe boots that felt like anvils, felt like 50-pound anvils on each foot, and struggling to make those steps into his pickup truck, the tow truck, the family truck that towed everybody, all 8 of them, even Grandpa Tony, struggling, all 8 of them, and in that snow, especially the wintertime, the snow, when it would pour down, it felt like acid on his skin, burning him, knowing that he was further and further away from his dreams, further from what he really wanted, until that one day in mid-November when it happened. He didn't expect it. It wasn't something he planned. In fact, it had rarely happened in the 150 years of the plant's existence, where they've been shafting. It had happened only once, only twice. And so for him, he knew it, didn't know if it was a miracle. He didn't know if it was meant to be, but it was something that did happen. And it was the accident that not only changed his life, but would set in motion a lot of great things that would come his way, or so he thought. And so after coming from the doctors, he went to the local coffee shop, the small coffee shop. Not too many people were there. And very rarely was it crowded. Occasionally, if the governor or somebody was coming in, on their way into, somewhere else, they would come by, but never a big crowd. And so he decided to sit down. So he ordered a cup of Joe, nothing fancy, black, a little bit of cream, a little bit of sugar. And while he was stirring it, and stirring up emotions, knowing that he may never get back to work again, that he would never be a miner, that maybe this should be the end, she walked in, all beautiful, 5'2", curly brown hair, eyes like sapphires, that just, when he saw them, they pierced him into his soul. Pierced him, gave him a feeling that he hadn't felt for a long time. Not since he had seen that movie, that beautiful actress and her blue eyes. And then he felt it. He didn't know what it was. He didn't know that bubbly feeling in his heart. He felt it bubbling. He felt something. He felt alive for the first time in his 28 years. He felt alive. He felt renewed. He felt energized. And he's like, I have to talk to her. I need to. She came in, and as she brushed her hair, from her eyes, and she looked over and saw him, and she smiled. a friendly smile, you know, not a flirtatious, just a friendly, warm hi smile. And as she ordered her coffee and was waiting, that is when he decided to make his move. The butterflies, you know, come accumulating in his stomach like a tornado of emotions. He came up to and introduced himself. He said, "Hi, my name is Joe. What's your name?" He stumbled. And she said, "Hi, my name's Tiffany. I'm new in town. My family just moved in here. You know, and we, you know, we're trying to get our bearings together. This is a small town. We're not used to such a small town. Does your family live here?" And as he thought for a moment, he said, "Yes, yes." And so he said, "Oh, that's great." And he said, "Hey, would you like to come join me?" And she's like, "Sure." And so as they sat there and they talked and talked and they got to know each other, and what seemed like minutes was hours, to the point where the barista politely, you know, said, "Hi, closing time, 5 minutes, closing time, 5 minutes." They hadn't realized the sun had set. It had now gotten dusk, and in such a small town as Colesville, you don't have many streetlights. It varied, as it was dimly lit outside. He said, I've enjoyed our conversation. Can I get your number and maybe call you sometime?" And she's like, "Yes, sure." And so she gave him her number. And he's excited. He's like, "Do you need me to walk you home?" And she's like, "No, I'm right here. My car's fine." And so, well, he's like, "At least let me walk you to your car. You know, that's what a gentleman would do." And so he walked her to her car. And as he opened her door and made sure that she got in, he said, "Thank you so much for talking to me. I needed it." And she's like, "Likewise, thank you for talking to me. And I look forward to us, you know, talking soon." And he's like, "What are you doing tomorrow?" And she's like, "Not sure." He's like, "Well, hey, maybe we can make this a thing. Maybe you and I can have coffee or just sit down and chat in the cafe. You know, you want to do it again, same time?" And she's like, "Sure." And so he knew right then and there that she could be the one for him. And so, the very next day, Joe woke up excited. For the first time in a lifetime, it felt like he was energized. He was invigorated. He's like, "Today's my day. I get to speak to Tiffany." Everything seemed to go smoother, happier. He was smiling ear to ear. His family noticed it too. It's like, what's gotten into Joe? He's a lot, you know, happier than he used to be. You know, this, I haven't seen him happy like this is his first day working in the coal mines. Now he's happy again. And so he's like, I can't tell you guys, it's a secret, but I'm happy. The happiest I've been in quite a while." And so as he got back from his rehabilitation and made his way to the cafe, there she was, looking even prettier than she did before. He didn't know how that was possible. She looked even prettier, even more beautiful in her blue jeans and her nice long white sleeve shirt, looking conservative, looking like the belle of the ball. You know, he could see the few other guys kind of looking at her. And when she saw him, she got up, ran to him, gave him a big hug. It's like, "Oh, you're here. You made it like you promised. I wasn't sure you're going to make it. I was worried. Plus, all these guys kept staring at me. I was nervous. I didn't know what to do." He's like, "I'm here." And so they sat down, and again, what felt like minutes was hours, and again, they closed down the coffee shop, just like the day before, and again, and he said, "Hey, when can I see you again?" And he's like, "And then maybe we can make this a date." And as the dogs barked in the background, on their way out there, she's like, "I would love to do something, you know, maybe you can show me around Friday." He's like, "Absolutely." And so he is excited. He marked Friday. They're going to go out on the town, do a little dancing, Goes to a little country bar where everyone would, on Friday nights, learn to two-step and then dance the night away, dance their weekends away. And so he was excited. He woke up very, very excited. And so Friday came and he woke up. He's like, got out of bed, again, wide smile. His family noticed the difference. And again, they ask, who is this? Who? This is not our son. This isn't our brother. This is somebody else. We don't recognize this guy. He's so happy, so energized. And so he's like, I can't tell you guys yet, but I'm so excited. I met somebody. I'm excited. And it's maybe if things go well, I'll introduce you. But right now, I'm just taking it slow with her. Her family's brand new in town. She's new. I don't want to scare her off, you know? And they're like, okay. And so he picked her up, and they enjoyed a beautiful night. Again, just like at the cafe, what felt like minutes was only hours, or what felt like minutes was hours. And as they danced in each other's arms and held each other tight, everything around them was slow motion. Everything stopped, and it was just them in their own little world, dancing. And as the music played and played and played, until finally even the music faded away, and it was just them. You know, even as the lights came on and the gender is sweeping away the paper and the cups and the bottles that were scattered all across from a crazy night, a busy night, a rowdy night, but for them, a lovely evening where two became one and a love was forged. A beautiful love, a love that can be, you know, taken, shaken, or rattled. It was their love. It was a powerful love, you know. Even though it was just beginning, he knew, and she knew that they were meant to be. Although they were scared to tell, they were scared. They kept it to themselves. Again, Joe had suffered through many relationships like this before. He was a sucker for love, as they would say. He was one to fall easily into love, but very hard to fall out of love. She suffered through a lot of tough relationships, relationships with men who would use her and take advantage of her kindness, take advantage of her hospitality, and left her broken and brokenhearted. And she didn't want that, so she wanted to take it slow. But their passion was too strong, and again, what felt like minutes was hours, and what felt like hours ended up being the entire weekend. And they couldn't get enough of each other. Every waking minute that weekend was with each other. Soon as he woke up, he was off to see her. And then they were touring the city. He was showing her the hot spots, the little nooks and crannies, places that, you know, maybe some, even the locals didn't know, but only he knew. He even took her up into the shafts. You know, he lowered her down into the shafts there. He showed her where his family had been making a living since the 1930s. And he showed her, hey, this is where it all began. And he even did something he had never done for anyone before. He crushed a coal, and out came a diamond. And he gave it was a small diamond, not a fancy diamond. It was just an uncut one, very tiny. It looked like a fingernail, the size smaller than a fingernail. And he gave it to her, said, "This is for you. Like our love, it's like our love's a coal. With hard work and determination, I want to make it a diamond that shines bright, that I can show the whole world that you're mine and that you belong to me and that I belong to you and that we can shine bright together." And so from that moment forward, Joe and Tiffany were one, and their love kept getting stronger and stronger. And it felt like it would never end. He fell in love with her. She fell in love with him. But little did they know that their love would be taking a turn for to something more darker than they both could even imagine. Yes, thank you guys so much for listening to the beginning of our story called A Minor Inconvenience. Minor, M-I-N-E-R, not minor like little kid, M-I-N-O-R. So we will continue with the story on Wednesday, and then we will wrap up the story on Friday. Again, thank you so much for listening to us. As always, you can find us anywhere where podcasts are available. We'd love to have you as a fan and to support our listening. If you want to, you can do that. Directly if you want to support us, or support us just by listening. Either way, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for being a fan, for listening. Again, you can find us online at Great Weight Media on Instagram. So that's GR8W8MEDIA. The website is greatweightmedia.com. So GR8W8MEDIA.com. Or, of course, be a fan of ours on Facebook. The Facebook page is Great Weight PC, so at GR8W8PC, or facebook.com/GreatWeightPC, so GR8W8PC. Again, thank you so much for listening to the beginning story. Again, it was 100% improvised, come directly from my head. I did not plan it in advance. Again, the second part may be a little bit thought out here, I gotta remember. So it won't be as improvised as this first part. And then Friday, the finale may not be as improvised as Wednesday's or today. So again, thank you so much for listening to us. Again, appreciate it. You guys have a great rest of your day. Look forward to hearing you guys on Wednesday. And we will follow up with A Minor Inconvenience on Wednesday. Thank you so much for listening to the Great Weight Podcast Story Edition. And have a wonderful Monday night. Bye.